found in the Gospel of Matthew, of Mark, and also of Luke. It is Jesus stilling the tempest in the sea. Now we will take Matthew, the 8th chapter, which was read to you. From this chapter we find that when it was even, then they brought multitudes unto him that were possessed with devils, and that were likewise sick and afflicted. And he cast out the devils with the word, and he healed all those that were sick. Where Isaiah had prophesied of him beforehand, himself took upon him our infirmities and our sicknesses. We have then Jesus casting out the devils with the word. How wonderful was Jesus here upon earth with those poor creatures that were possessed with these spirits. They were evil spirits, and these spirits more or less drove these people to do things that they would never have done had not they been fallen creatures like you and I. They brought these creatures then to Christ, and he but spake the word, and the devils had to depart out of these people. I wonder if any of my hearers are conscious of having such evil spirits in them. There are many of these evil spirits prevalent in creatures who realize it not. There are those that have a spirit that leads them to drink. They spend everything they have practically on drink. Oh, what an awful thing it is if a husband of a family is led by the spirit to spend all his money in saloons and in taverns and to waste it away. There are many that do this in the times in which we are living. Not only men, but even men and women. They leave their children home and they go together to these places, and they spend their time and what they labor for on this particular drink. I hope that none of my hearers may be subject to such a spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ teaches us that wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging, and anyone that is deceived thereby, he is a foolish creature. There are others that are led to steal. Some have such a spirit in them, they can't keep their hands off anything. We find many, even in factories where we work, that are stealing continually. Whenever they can, they're taking something home that don't belong to them. Then there are others that have a spirit that leads them to curse and swear. Oh, how many have this spirit prevalent in them in the times in which we live. It's hardly impossible to meet people without noticing that they let an oath or they use the Lord's name in vain. I hope that none of my hearers may be subject to such a spirit. There are many that have this spirit. Then there are some that have a spirit that leads them to gamble, to bet. Oh, this spirit is very prevalent too. You know, when iniquity abounds in a nation, and when there's a certain amount of prosperity, then we find people doing these things. How many play the numbers? How many play horses? How many bet on anything? This spirit, so many people have. We find even this spirit even prevalent in churches. They put up things and they offer up certain amount of tickets to buy, and the one that has the lucky number, he gets the object that they have set up. This is nothing else but gambling too. The proceeds are supposed to be for the church. Is this a way to support a church? This is the devil's way of doing it, my hearers. There are many likewise that have a spirit that they want to become somebody in this world. They're filled with pride, filled with ambition. They want to be somebody. They want to get honored. They want to be glorified by the creatures. Oh, how many have these evil spirits working in them, and they are not disturbed by them. These people, they brought those that were possessed with such kinds of spirits to the Lord Jesus, and he cast them out with the word. I wonder how many of my hearers are conscious of having some such spirit in them. I can't look into your heart. It's only one that can look in there. And you may be subject to some of these things that I've been speaking about. I hope that God may make you conscious that they are sins. You know, sometimes they get the upper hand over us. I know what I'm talking about. We don't realize that we're doing these things and that they're evil and sinful in God's sight. And if they are, our conscience is seared and it does not speak. But if ever God makes you conscious of these things, that they are going on in you, regardless of which spirit it may be, then I am sure that you will come to the Lord Jesus Christ as they brought these people to him. And what a blessing it is if you are coming to him and saying, Lord, oh, please subdue this spirit in me. I don't have any power over it. It rules and it reigns in me, and it continually overpowers me, and it makes me fall headlong into sin. Dear Lord, deliver me from this. Speak the word, Lord, and I will be delivered from it. I wonder if any of my hearers are coming in this way. But with this evil spirit that has such a possession over you to Jesus, they brought him to Jesus, and he cast out these spirits with the word. There may be somebody listening to me that has been given to hear his word, hear his voice. And this voice has entered into your heart, and it has found a place there, and it has subdued your passions, your lust. These evil spirits that had such dominion over you, you had to leave everything, and you were given to come to the Lord with this word. Oh, the word of the Lord is powerful, my hearers. Sometimes it's only a soft, still voice, but all it goes in, and all when it goes in, then it becomes a prayer. It becomes a desire that the Lord will fulfill that word in your experience. And what a mercy if you are troubled with these devilish spirits that I am trying to describe to you in my feeble way. And then they came to him with all those that were sick. For Isaiah had prophesied of him that he would bear our infirmities and take upon himself our sicknesses. I am sure that there are some in my midst who have those that are very sick, probably deathly sick. And now suppose, I'm supposing this, the Lord Jesus was here upon earth, and you had heard of him healing so many. I am sure that if it was possible for you, you would carry your loved one to him, and that he likewise would heal them of that sickness, of that disease, that creature who you loved was afflicted with. We can't do that today. He isn't here on earth. But I am sure that if it were possible for us to do this, how this would endear this precious Jesus to our hearts. We have in this world physicians who are called specialists. They specialize in special diseases and treating them. They study for them when they're graduated from school, they hang their shingle out and they specialize in these diseases because this is something that they know something about. And they have much success in treating many patients, and they receive a name and fame, and many people resort to them. But now we have a physician in heaven, a wonderful physician, my hearers. who not only heals all manner of sicknesses and diseases, but likewise heals the disease of the soul. You know many physicians who are specialists, they only live a short time. Then their name and their fame is gone. But here is a physician that has lived throughout all the ages of time and is still the same. Oh, I could recommend him to you. He is a compassionate, he is a merciful, he is a sympathizing physician, and he has all power to heal you, whatever the case may be. And he is filled with the feeling of our infirmities. Oh, could you but realize this? Had we all but a feeling thereof, that Jesus cares for us, as it says in the Bible. Now, this wonderful physician, he done so many wonderful things, even as I'm describing to you, and he still does wonders. It is according to the prophecy of Isaiah, if any one of you are afflicted with a terrible sickness or disease, and you are brought back from death's door, that scripture is being fulfilled. He is moved with the feeling of our infirmities, and he bore our sicknesses. And that word is still being fulfilled throughout this world, even to this day. And now we find that great multitudes resorted to him, and he commanded his disciples that they should enter into a ship to go to the other side. But we find there was a scribe there who had seen Jesus do so many wonderful things. And he was so moved with what Jesus had done that he wanted to follow him. He said, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, whether this was from a principle of grace, or whether it was just out of curiosity that he had seen Jesus do so many things, that he would like to follow him and see some more of these wonders, the scripture does not teach us this. But we do find Christ speaking unto him and saying, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. This describes unto us the poverty that Jesus experienced while he was here below. He was born in a stable, born of humble and poor parents, and he had not those blessings that you and I have, you may be sure of that. Oh, what a humble life he led. And as he was older and began to preach and to teach, he likewise received the scorn and the derision of men. He was despised and rejected of men. And he led a life of suffering and of shame. And finally, he was taken prisoner, and he was taken to Golgotha and murdered upon the cross there. This was the life that the Lord Jesus led when he was here below. And now he's speaking unto this scribe, telling him that if he wanted to follow Jesus, just look at the animals. These animals, they have a hole to creep in, to sleep in. The foxes have holes. The birds, they have nests to lay in. But if you want to follow me, you're going to have a life of shame, a life of derision. Those that love you, those who were your friends, they're going to leave you. They're going to forsake you. They're going to hate you. They're going to turn away from you. Think of the cost. Think what it means to follow me, he says with these words. We do not read that this man followed him. In all probabilities, he did not. And then we find that a disciple came and said, Lord, suffer me first to bury my father. Now here we have a man that has, we would think, a legitimate excuse at the present time why he could not follow Christ. His father had died, and he wanted to bury him. My hearers, when it comes to following Christ, and when our conscience tells us that we should follow him, regardless of the cost or what people may say, then we are looking for legitimate excuses not to go. And we would probably listen to the excuses and the reasons that we think are right, even with the word of God, that we would not follow him. But when it comes to the point of following him, then Jesus teaches us that we must forsake all. Father, mother, wife, husband, children, everyone we must leave and forsake for his sake. He teaches us this. And now he's teaching this disciple who wanted to bury his father, that let the dead bury the dead. But follow thou me, he says to him. In another place he said, go and preach the gospel. This was the command of Jesus. Let the dead bury the dead. Let those that are dead in sin, those that are taken up with the things of this world, those that find their pleasure and delight in those things, let those take care of this person that had died. But you, who are my disciple, who loveth me, who hath my grace in your soul, you obey me, follow me. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, if we may be obedient to the Lord and follow him. And now we find that the Lord entered into the ship, and the disciples followed him into the ship. And they started to sail across the sea. Now, this sea is called sometimes a lake. It's called the Lake of Gennesaret. Likewise, it's called the Sea of Tiberias. Now, these two cities were located on the shores of this lake. Now, these disciples, they were able seamen. Now, they had been born and brought up, and they sailed this lake many times, for they were fishermen. And probably many a storm had come down upon the lake, and they had weathered every storm. But now they're sailing the sea with Jesus on board. And we find Jesus, he's in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And there comes a storm. The wind begins to blow, the waves begin to rise, and the word says that they were in jeopardy. For their ship began to be filled with water. The waves came over the top of their ship. You may be sure that these disciples tried in every way to keep this ship so that it would have its nose in the waves. But no matter how they tried and how they labored, this ship was being tossed about. Have you ever been to sea? Have you ever been on a ship in a storm? They that go down to the sea in ships, they see his wonders in the deep. When he maketh the storm wind to fly, and he raiseth the waves on high, we've just been singing. How true this is. From experience I know, I've been in a ship, and I've been in a storm. And oh, how fearful you become. When you see mountainous waves and you're in a little ship, you're afraid at any moment you're going to be swallowed up of the waves. And now these disciples, they were in the midst of this storm, trying their utmost to keep the ship above water. And you may be sure they looked many times towards Jesus, sleeping in the back of the ship. Wouldn't he wake up? Wouldn't he come out? But no, he slept so sound. And finally, these disciples, they had to give up trying to keep the ship above the water. Everything they had resorted to, all their experience that they had, came to naught. And finally, they went to Jesus, and they said, "Lord, arise, save us, we perish." And then Jesus, he arose, and he spake unto them and said, "Why are ye fearful, ye of little faith?" And he rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a great calm. And then they began to wonder and marvel that these disciples, they had seen Jesus do so many wonders and miracles, but they had never seen him still a tempest on the sea. "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him?" They were filled with wonder. You will notice likewise that Jesus, when he arose, he wasn't excited. He wasn't filled with fear like the disciples were. He calmly arose and spake to the wind and to the seas, and they obeyed him. How to the point he spake to these disciples, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" But that was just what they were. Or they were filled with fear that the ship was going to go down, that they would be drowned, that they would be lost. This was what they were concerned about. And now, "Why are ye so fearful? Are your master on board the ship? Where is your faith?" In other words, you will take notice that these disciples could not exercise faith themselves. They didn't just have it in their pocket to take it out, or they didn't just have it in their head. They were dependent upon the Lord to give them faith. You and I would say, why should they be so fearful? They had Jesus on board, they couldn't go lost. But you may come someday in the same position in life, and Jesus may have been on board with you too in your heart, and you will be filled with fear, and you will have no faith in exercise, just as they were. And my hearers, this likewise has a lesson in it for us. These disciples, they entered into the ship with Jesus and went across the sea with him. You know, when we are young in life, then we begin to sail the sea of this life. And I could ask any one of those young creatures that are listening to me, what do you anticipate? Oh, we anticipate nothing else but happiness. Soon we're going to have this, and we're going to have this. Everything's going to go well. These are the anticipations of young people. I know what I'm talking about. I was young once myself. And we look into the future and we think it's going to be rosy. It's going to be happy. Everything is going to be good. But now listen, my hearers. A life has no such rosy future for anyone. All of this storm came down upon this ship unexpectedly. But they never expected this storm. It was a storm sent by God himself. And storms, my hearers, come sometimes so early in life upon young people. Oh, how many young people they lose their eye, they lose one of their legs, they lose an arm in accidents. Sometimes we find young people afflicted by the hand of God. A dreadful disease takes hold of them. And soon they're lying on a bed, a few days, and they're taken away. All what they anticipated, all that rosy future that they looked into, is gone. A storm came, and a terrible storm, which they had not expected. Oh, how many young people, they look forward to become this and to become that. Some are stricken on the highways. Some likewise are stricken with dreadful diseases. Palsy, for instance. How many young persons have been afflicted with this dreadful disease? It has taken away the use of their limbs, and there they are for the rest of their life. Have you got good limbs? Has God blessed you with health and strength? Oh, be thankful, my hearers. We are so unthankful and so unthoughtful of the goodness of God over us. All of you should visit some institutions and see the condition of some people that are in them places. It would bring you down. It would humble you in the dust. What maketh us different? All young people are subject likewise to many storms in this life. Oh, how often does it not happen? There's a family. There's four or five children. They're all growing up. And suddenly, God takes away the mother. In the midst of a growing family. Oh, what a storm, my hearers. Just when she's most needed to take care of the children. Sometimes it pleases God to take the father away, the provider of the family. What a storm some young people have to go through in life. Oh, I wish to impress it upon you, my hearers, what life is. Not only young people, my hearers, are subject to storms in this life, but even when they get older, they get married, and soon they have children of their own. Sometimes the parents, they likewise are subject to storms that come unexpectedly upon them. Sometimes the parents are afflicted. Sometimes the children. Sometimes, my hearers, these parents, they are subject to all sorts of afflictions and diseases, and they have just purchased a home, and there comes a storm. How are they going to weather it? How are they going to provide for their family and provide for what they've just purchased? Some may have to lose their homes. Sometimes a man has a very prominent position. His outlook in life is very good. But their business fails, he loses his job, and for a certain length of time, he can't find another one as good as he had. A storm came upon this family. They have to change their mode of life. There are so many storms that come upon different families, my hearers. Haven't you ever had a storm? Haven't you ever suffered sometimes a loss of someone that was near and dear to you? Oh, how many that are listening to me, they lost their partner in life. Oh, what a blow. You don't realize that when you have a wife or you have a husband and they're healthy, they're well. Oh, everything seems to be all right. You may be sitting in the kitchen and your wife in the parlor, but you know your wife is there. But now suppose God afflicted your wife, laid her on a bed of affliction, took her to the hospital, You were deprived of her presence even in your home. You miss her immediately. I know what I'm talking about. And you wish that she would get better. You wish that she would be brought home again, so that she would be enabled to do the things that she used to do for you. Am I not speaking the truth, husbands? But now it pleases God not to bring her home. Have you ever thought of that? You ever missed your wife or your husband for a week or so? If you love each other, you miss each other. And then to be deprived of them forever. Oh, my hearers, that cuts very deep. Them are storms that we don't think about and don't wish to hear about. Be honest about it. But they do come in life. Ask any of them that are listening to me that have experienced it. They know what I'm talking about, that that's truth. What a storm, my hearers. And now you parents that have children, I have them too. Oh, are you not fearful sometimes when they don't come home, they stay away late at night, you wonder where they are, you wonder what's the matter with them. You're troubled, you're concerned about your children. And oh, should any one of them be struck down by the hand of God, oh, what a blow it is to parents. Oh, there are so many storms that come upon people in this life. And my hearers, if you have not Jesus on board, to who do you resort when these storms come upon you? You resort to the creature. You seek comfort, you seek consolation by people. But I would entreat every one of my hearers that you would seek to have Jesus on board in your immortal soul. What a blessing it is if you have him with you. And then you can weather every storm, for he will give you the grace to do so. He will give you to bow under his afflicted hand, and he will give you to say, at times, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. My hearers, these disciples, they had been with the Lord Jesus Christ. They had wondered at his marvelous works. Here they see him stilling the wind and calming the sea. And now, my hearers, many of God's dear children, oh, when God comes to us in this life, and he commences a work of grace in our hearts, there may be a storm at that time. There may be distress. There may be conviction of sin. But there comes a time likewise when God sheds his love abroad in your soul. And oh, that's such a wonderful time. I wished everybody understood this. So few have experienced this. It seems as if you're telling a fable. But believe me, my hearers, if ever God comes to you in this life and gives you to believe that he loves you with an everlasting love and fills your soul with that love, oh, you're in a different world altogether, honestly. Oh, that God should love a sinner like you, a wretch like you. You can't fathom it. You can't understand it. And it's such a wonderful time, the time of first love. Why, everything is new. You enjoy so much of God's presence in secret, in prayer, in reading the Bible, in coming up to his house. Oh, you have such a desire for the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Oh, do you know such a time, my hearers, when everything was lively? Oh, when everything was godly and holy inside and you didn't care about the world or about sin outside of you. Oh, you lived for him and for him only. And you thought that this was the way it was going to go. That this would become stronger and stronger in you. But now, there comes a storm. And now in this storm, my hearers, we try with all our might and all our mean and all our experiences to keep ourselves alive. That's what these disciples did. They were in the midst of this storm. And they were able fishermen and able seamen. And they fought as hard as they could to keep that ship above water. And that's the way it goes in a spiritual sense. We try in every way to find life, to find enjoyment, to find nearness to God. And now when God begins to fulfill his word, that which I have planted, I will root out. That which I have builded, I will break down, and that throughout the whole land. When you become so famished, when you become so dried up inside, when you become so barren and so lifeless and so prayerless, you wonder where it's all going to go to. Instead of getting holier, unholier. Instead of overcoming sin, sin overcoming you. Instead of living to God's honor and glory, you find yourself to be so worldly, so carnal, or you find yourself more like a devil than a saint. And you then, you, a Christian, you one that loves God, then the enemy sets upon our souls and begins to point out our life, our conversation, and we haven't anything to say. Oh, we try with our reasoning powers to straighten it out, but can't. But now God begins this here wonderful work of breaking everything down in you until you are brought to where these disciples were brought. They tried everything too. We do too. But when everything was gone, then they came and said, Lord, save us, or we perish. When we are brought to be lost, unable to save ourselves, when everything looks and feels as if it's all gone, then we come, Lord, save me, or I'm going to perish. Have you ever been there, my hearers? I'm afraid very few. Very few have been brought to that point. And that is where God exalts his dear son Jesus in our hearts. Oh, that is when he arises and he speaks and his word is with power. He brings the storm within to a calm. Has he ever spoken to you, my hearers, in your distress? Have you ever heard the word of this King coming into your heart? Has it ever been a source of comfort to you? That when you thought everything was wrong and that you had deceived yourself and that you had no life in your soul, then he came and he spake. And what a calm. What a change takes place within. Oh, what a gracious and what a merciful and what a wonderful Savior we have to do with. Oh, I can recommend him to you, my hearers. May you, with all the storms that you may experience in this life, and whatever you may go through in a spiritual sense, be given to come to him and say, Lord, save me, for I surely shall perish. This concludes our lesson for today.